Good morning. If you would take your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. So 2 Peter chapter 2, and this is probably going to sound really familiar if you've been in any of the services lately, but I think the Lord can still just remind us of some things. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for the chance to open your word now this morning and to come before you and ask that you open our hearts, open our understanding. Lord, this passage is very familiar to us, especially lately, but Lord, I pray that we would still gain something from it, even if it's just being reminded of something that maybe we missed the first time. Lord, I pray that you would help my heart, help the hearts of everyone here to be open and receptive to your word. And thank you for meeting with us today. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God's word is full of warnings. And because of that, Christians and even the Bible has sometimes been labeled as legalistic because there's so many regulations. There's so many things that people say, well, that just hems you in. God's trying to restrict you. God's trying to keep you from enjoying life. But every time God gives a warning, it's for our good. When he told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was for their good. When they sinned, when they broke that rule, here we are today. Because they broke God's law and they ignored God's warning. He said, if you'll eat of this, you're going to surely die. God gave them a warning before he ever gave them consequences for sin. But they disobeyed that warning and they disobeyed against God. Warnings are very good things. How many of you guys remember taking your driver's test and all the warning signs and stuff in the driver's manual? Yeah, I looked at that just the other day, looked back in the driver's manual, and I was like, man, there are a lot of laws in here, a lot of laws that you would think shouldn't have to be in there. I looked at a couple of these in there, and one of them is, and these are both for South Carolina, unique to South Carolina, no sketching. I'd never even heard that term. Apparently, I didn't read it when first time I went through the manual. But it is illegal to ride on the back of a car while using a skateboard, sled, or other toys. And that's the exact wording there. And then no sidewalk driving. Under South Carolina Code 56-5-3835, you cannot drive your car on a sidewalk. Again, you think, man, you really shouldn't have to make those laws, but again, that's because people don't exactly use their brains all the time. According to Business Insider, states have begun to use humorous digital highway signs to get drivers to pay attention. You've probably seen some of these signs, especially during the holidays, they like to put these up. Some of these states, one of them is 4 eyes in Mississippi, 2 eyes on the road. Another one was, this is Mississippi again, 100 is the temperature, not the speed limit. Then visiting in-laws, slow down, get there late. That one was from Ohio. Iowa, one of theirs says, does your blinker not work or what? I think I've asked that question to people before. And then there's Missouri. You got to love Missouri. It says, pass on left, drive on right. And then I looked up ones for South Carolina. I couldn't find any. And the only thing I could figure is maybe not enough of our drivers can read yet. But that's just a joke. But God's word has a lot of warnings for us as well. And a lot of God's warnings, we would say, you know, why is that there? Why do we need to hear this? You know, surely people know better. But then again, you get out on the road and you see, okay, there's a reason for these warnings. People don't know better. And then you live the Christian life and you begin to fail in areas that you yourself would say, well, I know better. I know better not than to do this. Paul wrote of this. The Apostle Paul would say, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those things are the things I find myself doing. And so God has warnings, even warnings that we would say, well, I know that. I don't need to be reminded. And so we've got a simple lesson this morning, but the title is Drive Carefully, Stay on the Road. Or you could say, drive carefully, stay on God's road. The warning signs, you know, stop signs, any kind of road sign is only going to help you if you're on the road. You know, if you get off the road, if you turn off the interstate into the woods, you start driving through the woods, any kind of warning sign isn't going to help you at all. If you get turned around, if you're driving the wrong way on a road, you're just seeing the back of all those warning signs. Those aren't going to help you at all. So you got to be careful. We're driving the right way. We're following the right person. We're going to be looking at the road as a picture of our life, as life on this earth, and how we're supposed to navigate it. We must heed God's warnings and follow his leading. So first this morning, we're going to look at the prophets. The prophets. We see those in our text in verses 1 through 3. They're the ones who are driving the wrong way on the road. They're not saved. They don't follow the Lord. And they're driving the complete opposite direction. It says, there were false prophets in verse 1. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, who are the people? It says there were false prophets among the people. Well, that's the people of God. That was the Israelites in the Old Testament. There were false prophets. Jude, which is very similar to 2 Peter, which we just looked at. There is two false prophets specifically mentioned. That's Korah and Balaam. And Korah tried to use his power to get more power. And Balaam, all he was about was money. And so Korah had the nice words, and Balaam, well, he had wealth, and they both seemed to have it going. I mean, you look at these people and you say, wow, I like the car they're driving. I want to ride with them. I want to follow where they're going. But again, it looked nice, but it wasn't. It was false. They were false prophets. They weren't prophets of God. But people got caught up in following them. People followed Balaam and his error. People followed Korah. Because of that, many people perished. In both cases, thousands of people would lose their lives eventually because they followed their error. And again, because they're looking at men, they didn't see warning signs because they weren't looking at the Lord. And they would be destroyed. 1 Timothy 6:9 through 11 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, we could say people of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. The motivation of these false teachers almost exclusively is to make money off the people. It's never to help them, because when you're not preaching God's word or you're not preaching it accurately, it doesn't help anyone. It only causes people to go into error. But sometimes it's really hard to tell because it says they privily or privately bring in damnable heresies. They don't come into a church and immediately say, hey, God says this, but I say this. They either don't use God's word at all, or they'll twist God's word. They'll take it out of context to support whatever doctrine they want to teach, not what God's word actually teaches. They have fair speeches. They may give gifts. They may seem genuine and draw a lot of people after them. But that does not mean they're driving you the right way. It says these are damnable heresies. Now we know that no Christian can be condemned to hell after they've accepted Jesus. But, I mean, it can really hurt your Christian walk if you have no faith in God's word, if these people can destroy your faith. And for unbelievers, it can condemn them to hell if they believe that they can't trust God's word and they don't believe that God is true. And again, this is just a pitfall that keeps getting worse and worse. It says, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, this isn't the word that means they were redeemed. When Jesus died on the cross, rose again, he paid for the sins of everyone, but he didn't save everyone. He offers salvation to everyone, but it is still a choice whether to accept or to reject Jesus Christ. So Jesus bought them, he paid for their sins, but they never accepted him, gave him a chance to redeem them. And so they're denying the Lord that offers them salvation, and because of that, they're bringing their own destruction swiftly. And James says, what is your life? It is even a vapor. We can see false prophets today, and I hope you do recognize them for what they are and compare them with Scripture. We see false prophets, and man, they just seem to have it made. I mean, they may have the nice cars, the beautiful houses, you know, they may have a lot of money in the bank. But then you think, with James, I mean, our life is just a vapor. Even if they have 70, 80, 90, 100 years on this life, and it's all peaceful, that doesn't compare to an eternity of judgment and hell. I mean, this life is so quick. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. You know, our lives pass so quickly, and people say it's so easy to waste them. But you know, it also in the same way, because it's so quick, if we build godly habits and start living for the Lord, our lives go so quickly, maybe it's not too hard to live for the Lord with our lives. And again, just a few short years we have on this life shouldn't be too much to give to the Lord when we as Christians have an eternity of peace, an eternity to worship the Lord. And our maybe, you know, 100 years, if the Lord is gracious, you know, that's just a vapor, just a very short time in comparison to eternity. It's really no time. But many, it says, are following their pernicious, their ungodly ways. You know, they've got a limousine and everybody wants to get on. Everybody wants something of what they have. But they don't realize the truth behind what these false prophets are offering. It says, by reason of which, in verse 2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know, on visitation, sometimes it's discouraging when you say you're from a church or you're from a Baptist church, and people immediately kind of shrink back and just kind of tighten up. And it's kind of frustrating in some points because it's nothing you've done to them. It's nothing that your church has done to them. You know, everybody has a horror story of something that's happened in church. Or everybody has something that happened or they heard of happening at a Baptist church that they say, well, I don't believe the Baptists are right, or I just don't believe church is for me. You know, because of these false prophets, because of even the mistakes of other Christians, the way of truth is evil spoken of. You know, it hurts when people speak evil of us, but it's way worse when people speak evil of God's word, the way of truth. And that should be the thing that really gets us aggravated and should really get us working for the Lord. You know, just because you're a Baptist doesn't make you a Christian. We know that. Just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. But yet, if we have right doctrine, if we're obeying the Lord, there's no reason to be ashamed of being called a Baptist. There's no reason to be ashamed of being in church because we're following the Lord. And many other denominations will claim to speak the truth, but if they're not teaching God's word, or if they're teaching things contrary to God's word, doesn't matter how many people are following them, how many people are listening, it's error and it's very dangerous. And all of this is done. The way of truth is evil spoken of. All of this, in verse 3, is done through covetousness. It says, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Again, just trying to make money off of you. It says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Again, their judgment is coming quickly. They won't have peace forever, even if they have peace every year in this life. They're using these nice, feigned, which means just fake, false words to gain from people. Now they say, if you send this much money, or if you give this kind of gift, then you'll have the faith and God will bless you and God will do these things for you. God will give these gifts to you. And, you know, in the Bible, you'll never find God promising spiritual gifts to those who gave more money. God never promises to give you more faith if you give more money. There was one man in the Bible who tried to buy spiritual gifts. That was Simon, who was a sorcerer. He asked Peter, after he had seen Peter heal a man, he said, "Hey, how much money do you want that I can buy this gift of healing?" And Peter said, "Your gift, your money, perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased." God's gifts aren't for those with the most money or who give the most money. Again, it's false doctrine to claim that if you give enough, you'll have more gifts or that you'll have more of the Holy Spirit. Nothing could be further from the truth there. But their nice words, their fake, feigned words are convincing many. But just because someone talks nicely doesn't mean what they say is true. There's an old Portuguese proverb I ran across. It says, "Beware of silent dogs and still water." Beware of things that seem just a little too smooth, a little too quiet. There's probably something hidden. And again, this false doctrine may sound good, but it is dangerous. Their damnation, their judgment is coming. So you've got the prophets. They're driving down the wide road, the road to destruction. But then you have the precedents. Our text uses the word and samples. The examples of those who'd gone before, and these were warning signs. These are three tragic wrecks that happened because people didn't follow God's law, didn't follow his warnings. And the first wreck here was the angels. It says, verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." A third of the angels in heaven followed Satan, followed Lucifer, sinned, and were cast out of heaven. Now, there were warning signs for these angels. At first, they were in the presence of God. They knew what holiness was. It was their job to cry, "Holy, holy, holy." But in Isaiah, they have another warning sign. We have the account of Satan saying he would exalt himself. He would be greater than God. He would be like God. That should have been a warning to these angels. But yet they fell, they sinned. And anytime someone uses their position to grasp power or to equate themselves with God, it's a very, very dangerous thing. Because of their sin, God had to create a place called hell, where now every lost sinner will go if they don't accept Jesus Christ. God created that place for people to be punished for all eternity, but originally it was for the angels who sinned. God didn't intend, he didn't plan on Adam and Eve sinning. He wanted them to live in perfect harmony with one another and with God forever and ever, for all eternity. And many believe that hell is in the center of the earth. And because of that, many say that the angels sinned after creation. For one thing, because God wouldn't have said that everything about the earth was good when it was created. The angels sinned after creation, and then Satan came to earth and corrupted Adam and Eve. And we don't know the timing of all those things. That's possible. That may not be true. But one thing is for sure, they didn't obey the warning signs. These angels fell. And then you see the second wreck, and that's verse 5. "Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." You know, there were only 8 righteous people in the world in Noah's day. Only 8 righteous people in the entire world. We say the world keeps getting worse and worse. It's a bad place, but it's not near that bad. We have way more than 8 righteous people here this morning. And yet God had to destroy the world. But he saved Noah, the 8th person. God saved Noah and his family. But this world had warning. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. He preached righteousness for 120 years. And yet no one aside from his family believed and accepted God's message. Because of that, God had to destroy the world through the flood. And you have the third wreck, which was the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, they had warnings. If nothing else, they had Lot. Now, even though he was a weak Christian, we would say he had a weak testimony, yet they still had his warning. They had the warning and the witness of creation. There was a God. There was a God of order, a God who had designed things to be a certain way, and they were living contrary to that. Now, again, with Lot, we'd wonder if he was even a Christian, but the Bible calls him a righteous man. It says in verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them. Now, in case we'd be tempted to think it was an accident, the Bible calls him righteous again. It says, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Now, the Lord said that he was righteous, so he was righteous. He said it twice. But yet, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Lot didn't have to stay there. Lot didn't leave. And probably a lot of this vexing that happened was because of his own family turning after Sodom and living for the world. I'm sure that had to have been a lot that tormented him. You say, well, he did leave Sodom. Well, he did, but not when he could have. The day he pitched his tent towards Sodom, the day he went into Sodom, he should have seen what that place was like. He should have went 100 miles in the opposite direction. We know Lot was wealthy. He had plenty of money. He could have gone probably anywhere in the world he wanted. But instead he saw the green pastures, the well-watered plain. They said, well, it's just the world. You know, the world's just going to live like sinners. We can live there. It's all right. It won't affect us. But it did. And Lot just barely escaped with his life. He should have been involved in that fatal pileup in Sodom and Gomorrah, but the Lord was gracious to him. And that's our third point, the preserving or the preservation. God's mercy in the life of someone who fell asleep at the wheel, you could say. He was a Christian. He saw God's warnings. He had the witness of Abraham, a godly man, his uncle. But yet, eventually, he just saw warning after warning. He just got kind of lulled to sleep, and eventually he could have ended up just like these people. But the Lord was so gracious, he sent the angels to deliver Lot and his family. And the Lord is so gracious to us as well. It says in verse 9, the Lord knoweth, and that's just a wonderful thing, those three words that the Lord knows. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And that's just a wonderful thing that the Lord knows our hearts. Now, it wasn't a man judging Lot. It wasn't a man that said, well, if that's the way he is on the outside, he must not be righteous. He's not worthy of saving. The Lord knew Lot's heart. And the Lord saved Lot and his two daughters out of Sodom. The Lord knew Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah, even though there were only 8 righteous people on the earth, God had to destroy the world. He saved Noah just like Lot. He got them out of that situation. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And again, this is a wonderful thing because both of these were physical temptations. The Lord knew how to deliver them from a flood and from burning fire. The Lord doesn't just deliver us from spiritual temptations. He can deliver us from physical temptations, from physical destruction. And the Lord was so, so gracious to Lot, so gracious to Noah, that he gave them both a chance to get out. Now we see specifically in the case of Lot, he wasn't living for the Lord. He certainly didn't have a very strong testimony. But the Lord saved him out of what could have been a fatal wreck for him. You know, God preserves. God delivers. That's a wonderful truth in the beginning of verse 9, but you see in the end it says, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Again, this points back to those false prophets, to the angels, to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. God has judgment waiting for them. Even if their whole life, again, on this earth was peaceful, there is judgment waiting for them. The Lord will do what was right. He will do what is right. He did right in the case of Noah and destroying the world. He didn't even have to save Noah, but yet he did. He didn't have to save Lot. He did right in destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. When the angel sinned, he did right in casting it out of heaven. So are we obeying the warnings this morning? Are we asleep at the wheel? Are we paying attention, or are you saved? Are you driving the right way on the road? Warning signs aren't going to do any good if you just see the back of them. They'll only help you if you're driving the right way. Now, have you been led astray, and are you beginning to doubt God's word? I know I'm teaching to the choir this morning, but you know, none of us have perfect faith. We can all begin to doubt God's word in certain areas. We all have tendencies to doubt God's word in certain areas. We've got to be careful and make sure that when we have questions, we're going to God's word. You know, one of the most dangerous things I think today is YouTube theologians. I mean, you can get so much false doctrine in 5 minutes on YouTube. I mean, there are so many things out there. I mean, you can get people and theologians from any country practically in the world, any kind of opinion you want to support your view, you can find there. And that doesn't just go for YouTube, that's all social media. You can get all kinds of false doctrine and get completely twisted around. But again, we can't go to people. We can't go to people's opinions. We've got to go to God's word. And then if you do need more help, go to a pastor. Go to your pastor. Ask him if you're having questions, if you're doubting the Lord. You know, people's opinions really don't matter. God's word is going to give you the answers. And the more you read it, the more you understand it, the less you'll be led away by false doctrine and by false prophets. And again, these warnings are for our blessing, for our good. False prophets are just trying to make money off you. They're trying to do what they can to gain advantage of you. And again, none of us have complete faith. We can all doubt sometimes. I doubt. I have lapses in faith. But it can be very dangerous even just to start doubting God's word, just in little areas. We've got to trust him. We've got to obey the warning signs. Now, it's so easy to fall asleep at the wheel. Oh, driving back and forth from school, sometimes I get tired and I can doze off sometimes, to be honest. It's very easy to do. And, you know, in God's word, there's so many warnings. And, you know, we hear them, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We can get tired of those warnings. We can kind of just grow lax, fall asleep and say, well, I've heard it so many times and, well, that's not really a danger to me. I've passed that mile marker so many times. I've never failed. I've never fallen into that sin. I'm good. I don't need to worry about that warning. And so quickly we can end up in a wreck. The Lord knows how to deliver from temptations, but we've got to heed his warnings. We've got to want to be delivered from temptations. Now, if you're wondering or if you're wandering, you can be in God's word and he will show you. But again, live or drive carefully and stay on the road. Stay on God's road. His warnings will help you. If you're looking at the right person, you're not looking at false prophets. You're looking at his word. You're praying. You're asking him for guidance. And the Lord will keep you on the road. And you won't have to worry about ending up in a wreck like these three examples that we have in Scripture. His warnings are for our good. So we should pay attention to them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you care so much about us, that you do give us warnings. Lord, not just one. You repeat warnings in Scripture so many times to us, Lord, because you care about us. You want us to live in faith. You want us to live pure. You want us to live right. Lord, you want us to not waste our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize the pitfalls that we could fall into. And Lord, to realize that there is a ditch on either side of the road. Lord, to stay in the middle of the road, stay seeking after you, and keep the cross in front of our eyes. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, guide us, lead us gently, Lord, as the good shepherd. Lead us carefully as, Lord, we see others even fall into pitfalls, into traps. Lord, help us to take warning. Help us to take warning from these three examples. And Lord, to live for you and to follow you rather than anyone else. I do pray, Lord, that you would bless our hearts in the services to follow. Teach us, Lord, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.